Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. Today, as we kick off Earth Month, I'm honored to share this conversation with Crystal and Ellie, two college students who became friends while doing Model UN in high school. They bonded over their shared concern for the environment and launched LEAP, or Live Environmentally Active in the Present, a youth-led organization spreading awareness through education and a powerful publication called The Climate Chronicles. Welcome back, everybody. I'm super excited to introduce you to my two new friends, Crystal and Ellie, and they are going to tell us all about this amazing work they are doing around the climate change crisis. Hey, Crystal. Hey, Ellie. Thanks so much for being here. Why don't you tell us all about yourselves? So, Crystal, start off. How old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. Then we'll hear from Ellie, and then we'll hear all about LEAP for Climate.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on the podcast. This is a great opportunity and it's such a privilege to be here. So my name is Crystal. I'm 19 years old. I'm a sophomore at the University of Pennsylvania, and I'm studying business, concentrating in environmental social governance.
Amazing. How about you, Ellie?
Hi, yeah, I'm Ellie, and I'm currently 19, and I go to the University of California, Davis, and I'm currently studying environmental policy analysis and planning.
Okay, well, so you're obviously very interested in these topics because you are not only doing this wonderful work with social impact organizations, but you have actually signed up to study. And I am so grateful because we need you so much to change things for us in the future. So, Crystal, why don't you start off and tell us exactly what LEAP for Climate is, how it got started, what was the inspiration, the spark, all that good stuff, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, of course. So LEAP for Climate, which stands for Live Environmentally Active in the Present, was founded back in 2020 when we were just ninth graders in high school. And we really founded this organization to address the problem of the opportunity gap, one for youth looking to get involved in leadership, and also for students who are just generally not sure of the different avenues to pursue in helping with environmental stewardship. So our origin story really comes from how me and Ellie became friends, actually. So we joined this club called Model United Nations, and our project was on clean and renewable energy. I had never heard of the word renewable before. And immediately as I was researching more about the climate crisis, I was like, this is such a huge issue in our curriculum that I've never heard of this word before, never heard of climate crisis until now. And we were looking more into what our curriculum had in store for us. And it's not until our senior year of high school that you would come across this topic again if you chose to sign up for AP Environmental Science. So definitely huge gap in this education system. And so we wanted to bring to our community directly opportunities through educational projects, experiential learning to really understand how we as individuals can get involved on taking care of our earth.
So this is all coming together when you're in the ninth grade and you're learning about this topic that you had no idea about. And of course, it's, again, terrible that it's not even a part of your curriculum. You didn't even know these words, and it wouldn't be in front of you again until senior year, which is insane. So Ellie, tell us more about what LEAP actually was. Did you provide after school programming, online courses? Like, how does it all work logistically?
Yeah, so during that time, being a part of the youth was really hard to build credibility because a lot of people look down upon us, like, we're just kids, like, type of mentality, but we're the future, so we need to take that action. And so Crystal and I, like, not only noticed that education gap, but also just youth being able to contribute back to their community. So we wanted to do more, like, in-person events, start locally, and build that credibility outward to an international level. So we first started reaching out to local libraries and starting like sustainable crafting events. And we branched out to the Philadelphia region and worked with a community organization there and done cleanups and learned more about what it means to be sustainable in the community. And from there, we got a lot more partnerships that helped us build that resilience and credibility to make a name for ourselves and become truly the Leap for Climate organization that a lot of people can contribute their leadership skills and also their volunteerism for environmental activism. So we've had we recently started three different avenues of activism, which was the Climate Chronicles, the Climate Explorer series, and the LEAP Leadership Fellowship.
Wow. Okay. So tell me all about those three. So just to be clear, though, is LEAP only in your high school back in Cherry Hill? But it sounds like it's grown. So do you have other chapters in other schools around the country, around the world? Crystal, what does that look like now?
Yeah. So we never actually established a school chapter or like a club at our high school because we didn't want to be limited. We wanted to continue doing our work even past high school. So it was very regional. So what it looks like is, yes, we were definitely in like the Philadelphia metropolitan area. And now we've kind of expanded. I'm still in Philly, but now Ellie is now in Davis, California. So we've spread that way. Now we have virtual programming and we're hoping to start up more grassroots chapters moving forward.
Amazing. That's fantastic. So Ellie, tell me about those three avenues that you talked about, the Chronicle, those other two things. So tell me what those three involve.
Yeah, so one of our most recent programs was the LEAP Fellowship program, which is like a dynamic virtual free 3-month virtual program for middle and high school students. This allows them to explore a subject area in addressing a problem in their community. And because it's online, we were able to connect them with a mentor that would help them through this project and do like a step-by-step process with any challenges they face. And we also invited speakers every week to give their experiences on what it means to build their own project. And we tackled a lot of different subject areas and created 5 different cohorts with business, STEM, humanities, art, and journalism. And students were able to express their interest in these cohorts and build their own project that way.
Wow, that's awesome. And Crystal, how many kids signed up for this? How many people did you have in the fellowship?
We weren't able to take everybody, unfortunately, which is something that we want to definitely adjust for in the future. So our first cohort, we had 30 students and about 12 mentors. So we wanted to make sure that the ratio was really small. And we also wanted to keep it accessible because ultimately our goal isn't to make like this competitive, prestigious program because we're focusing on students that don't have these resources back at home. So definitely want to make it possible in the future that we can accept almost everybody given we have enough resources.
I mean, how amazing, how successful that you put this out there and you had so many applications that you couldn't even take everyone. That's incredible. So was it your sense that those 30 students came from all over the place or were they mostly from the Philly area?
No, we were really lucky to have a really broad perspective. So we had some people from Nigeria, some people from the Philippines, from the US. And it was really nice because not only did we get like a cross like generational exchange because of the mentee-mentor relationship, but also across cultural relationships and people were exchanging ideas from different countries, which
Absolutely.
Really allowed a really comprehensive approach to learning and your solutions to making a project in your community.
Fantastic. Wow, that is just wonderful. That's amazing. So tell me about a few of the other ones there, Ellie, like the Chronicle. What is that all about?
Yeah, so the Climate Chronicles is our online journalism publication. So we try to create a new avenue that addresses different topics that aren't really covered in journalism. And since that's also an international platform, we were able to publish multiple articles on different perspectives about climate change. And I learned so much being the editor in chief, just reading the articles and just learning about how they handled climate problems in their own communities and just expanded my perspective on what we can do as an organization to help them.
Amazing. And all of these things are available on your website, right? You're going to tell us that at the end of the conversation, how to get, you know, subscribe to the Chronicles, how to apply for the fellowship. Crystal, is there anything else? Any other programs?
I think Ellie did a great job covering them all.
That's amazing. And so do you have folks who are running this now locally back home where you guys were, or are you kind of still doing it from college?
We're still doing it from college. Right now, we actually have our, well, I don't think by the time the podcast comes out, since the app closed today, but we have like executive team applications that we send out every year. So we invite youth to join our team and bring their voices and perspectives. And so we have this overarching board that looks over our operations. And then that's why we're looking for having the chapters and then having chapter directors look more into the regional grassroots work.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the way to grow. Do you have a sense of how many people you've touched through this work over this amount of time? Do you have an idea of how many people have participated in the Chronicles? I know 30 people in the fellowship and people. Do you have a sense of how many people access the information online, Ellie?
Yeah, so in terms of just like our outreach, we had over like 200,000 across like social media platforms at our events, and we directly served around 400 students. Our directors worked really hard with us to try to make this outreach happen, and we raised over 7,000 with our programming, and we are still looking forward to getting more fundraising to expand to an even larger of student population as well.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really awesome. Great reach. So tell me about the fundraising, Crystal. So are you a 501c3?
Yeah, we were just able to register as a 501c3 this past year and a half or so.
Amazing. So that helps a lot with sponsorship and with donations. So tell me about that piece. So the money that you're raising, which you're putting right back into programming and everything else, how are you doing the fundraising?
Yeah, of course. So it was definitely a challenge at first because we had never dealt with doing paperwork or anything. And so me and Ellie just completely navigated it independently on our own, but we were lucky to have some mentorship throughout the process. For fundraising, a lot of our money comes from grants, actually from like private foundations. So we were lucky, like from Riley's Way Foundation, we are now part of their Call for Kindness Fellowship. And I was part of the Allstate Foundation's Youth Summit. So they granted $1,100 for that as well. And so just being part of all these different great youth organizations has really allowed us to channel more money into our programming and more deeply impact the students that we serve.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And that's a wonderful way to do this, right? There is a lot of grant money to be had out there. So instead of kind of running a car wash or a bake sale, which seems like an inefficient way to do this, if you apply to any one of these grants, because luckily there are a lot of people very interested in our climate and environment and just take that money and put it to great use. So Ellie, where do you see this going from here? This is incredible, the reach that you've had so far and the people that you've touched. Do you see this growing and what's the next step for you guys?
Yeah, so we want to work more directly within the communities because right now we're trying to expand virtually with the international platforms. But in order to have this more direct approach, we want to work on launching more chapters throughout the U.S. and even further. And this would greatly advance our grassroots work. And also we have the Climate Explorers program. And I think Crystal can give more insight on what she had done in the Philadelphia region in trying to reach students that way.
Sure. Tell us about that, Crystal. What's the Explorers program?
Yeah, our Climate Explorers program is one of our youth programs specifically targeted towards young students, so like age like K to 3. And we have partnered with libraries to give them like a 4-part series where they explore like the main core subject areas through the lens of climate. So they're exploring STEM through environmentally based experiments. They're doing stories based off the environment. They're making art using a sustainable crafts. So having these partnerships with our local libraries and maybe hopefully bringing them to the schools as well, then we're able to reach more areas that way.
That's amazing. You know, I'm just reminded over and over and over again on this podcast that these are all things that our schools should be doing and our libraries and our governments. And instead, they're not doing those things. They can't seem to find their way to do the right thing by our children. And so you all have created this really amazing organization that is filling this important need in those communities. Well, I'm just so impressed by all of this. And I just think it's fantastic. Ellie, can you tell us where people can learn more, where they could reach out to you to start their own chapter where they live, follow you guys, make a donation, all of the good things. So social media, website, all of that.
Yeah, so our social media, we mainly post on Instagram and Facebook. So our Instagram is at Leap for Climate, for being F-O-R, but on our Facebook platform, we call it Leap for, like the number, and climate. And our website is just leapforclimate.org, which is one of our most comprehensive avenues for trying to summarize all of our programs.
That's amazing. Well, Ellie, Crystal, I am just wishing you the best of luck. This is really, really wonderful. As we honor Earth Month right now, I am excited to share this with everybody because I think this is just going to inspire people to do something and to get in touch, especially if they can start their own branch where they live. It's fantastic. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.